Welcome to the Fixed Ops Roundtable podcast, featuring Ted Ings and his distinguished guests. Each week, you'll gain valuable insights to level up your game in retail automotive's fixed operations. This episode is brought to you by BG Products, partners beyond product. And now, here's Ted Ings.
Welcome back to the Fixed Ops Roundtable. It's a great honor to welcome back a good friend of the industry, Bill Demery. Bill is the Corporate Director of Fixed Operations at the Tom Wood Automotive Group. Great friend of the industry. Bill, welcome to the Fixed Ops Roundtable.
Ted, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to being part of it again this year. I always look forward to spending time with Ted.
You know, it's hard to believe that here we are in January, our 23rd Fixed Ops Roundtable. That alone is hard enough to believe, but that you and I have not done, you've been on panels, but we haven't done a one-on-one like this ever before.
Yeah, I agree with you. And with your schedule, my schedule, it just hasn't worked out. And I was excited to get the call to see if we could spend some time and just chat.
I'm excited and honored as well. So again, thank you for being here. I want to talk to you a little bit today about the industry. I want to talk to you about Tom Wood Automotive Group. I want to talk to you about Bill Demery. And there was a quote that I saw that came from Tom Wood himself. And it said that success is not measured by the number of franchises or locations an organization has. It is measured by the people associated with it. Phil, how do you feel about that? That saying, and how can you relate to that?
You know, I think it aligns with our core values as a company. You know, Tom had a vision of growing a great big family, and that's really what he grew when he started in 1967. And, you know, we really work hard on the folk that we hire and bring on as part of our team. And, you know, they have to meet our core values. And if they do, they've just become part of a great family. And we push hard for work-life balance through this organization, and it's very important to us. And flexible schedules and 410s and, you know, anything we can do to gratify our employees and you know, keep them satisfied, because with happy employees comes happy customers.
And Bill, you do think out of the box on some of the things you just mentioned, those work hours, the culture of the dealership. Bill, 15 years ago, we never even heard about that topic at a dealership. And now, you know, it's become the relevant buzzword. But Bill, you've been doing that all along.
You know, I have, and our group has, and we send surveys out. Sometimes I'll ask a store, hey, how many individuals are interested in 410s? And sometimes they'll, hey, you know, we've talked to them and nobody really does. So we'll just send a survey. We send it right to the employee, and we get the real answer that maybe they are interested in 410s. Maybe they're interested in long weekends. And again, anything that we can do to soften the, you know, I've been in this business 37 years, and Ted, I promise I never had 410s. I think I had 7 12s. So, you know, my son, I listen to him, and he says, Dad, nobody's going to work the hours that you did growing up. And what do you mean 2 jobs, 3 jobs, 4 jobs? Are you kidding me? I have 1. Why do I need more? So, you know, it's changed. The industry's changed, and we have to change with that, or we're not going to have people that want to work in our industry. It's a great industry. So we just have to be on the edge.
So let's talk about that. Let's go back that 37 years, Bill. How'd you get into the industry? How did you get started, and how'd you get here today?
You know, it's fun. My father was an instructor at an automotive college, so he would bring lessons home for us to work on in the driveway, which, you know, later in life, I learned side work on him. And my brother and I would do brakes and work on engines and do all this stuff. I was never a fan of really busting my knuckles and getting after it, but I did, and we did it. And then my first job was at a service station. I'm telling you, Ted, that was one of the greatest experiences of customer service. 16 years old, pumping gas at a service station and serving the customer, you know, cleaning the windshield, checking the oil, making sure the tire pressure is up. And you become friends, you know, with the people come in. And the owner of the service station came to me one day, said, Bill, the customers love you. And, you know, here, I've got an idea. They have this new thing called synthetic oil. And what the synthetic oil does is it makes it last longer in the car. It's a little more expensive. And I'm going to offer you a spiff if you can sell synthetic oils on the fast lane service station. So I became a service advisor a long time ago, and I started selling the crap out of synthetic oils. And then I convinced him, hey, let me change the oil, bring it in and, you know, teach me how to do the oil changes and stuff in the shop. So I got my hands dirty really young at a service station. And, you know, I came into the dealership world a couple of years after that. I've never looked back.
Bill, young people today probably couldn't believe that service stations used to do things like actually, you know, check the air in the tires, clean the windshield, do all those things that you're speaking about. And I remember that.
Yeah, I wish it would come back. I was traveling somewhere. I don't remember where I was at. And I started to get out. And the guy came running up to me and said, no. And they pumped my gas for me. I was like, wow, it was a different country. I think Honduras. So I was on a cruise. But I thought it was interesting. I thought, you know, that's what we need to bring back, some of that stuff. And the automotive side and the dealership side, we can, you know, we can do pickup and deliveries. We can, you know, go after the cars, go mobile service. So I think there's a trend of that that's here. And those of us that got to experience it understand the importance, you know, of doing those things and serving the customer.
You know, convenience is working its way into the landscape. It has been for some time. Other industries are doing it. Some of the biggest companies in the world are focused on convenience. And the automotive industry now has picked up on that. And, you know, while we've always, you know, focused on price as an example, now we're looking at, you know, not everybody wants to come into a dealership to get their oil changed or to get their vehicle worked on. And they like the convenience and some of the things that you at Tom Wood are embracing, as well as others in the industry.
Yeah, convenience, I think, is everything. I personally have a hard time bringing my own vehicles into the stores and getting service. You know, my wife will yell at me. She's like, oh, I need an oil change. I'm like, well, you know, let's get an appointment. But now I dispatch my spiffy to my house, and they change her oil, and they clean my cars for me. And, you know, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to bring them in. So I'm with them. I get it, the convenience and not wanting to come. And, you know, we've done the ROI on it. And the value of the customer is so much more if they're not in our store. So, you know, let's find a way to not have them in our store. They spend more money because they're more comfortable. They're in their environment. It's not inconvenient. You know, if they come in the store, they're checking their watch. How long? I got to get out of here. I got to get somewhere. And, you know, where if give us the time, let us pick the vehicle up. We'll bring it in and we'll service it. We'll bring it back to you. They spend money.
So let's discuss that. I've seen a lot of the posts that you've had on social media talking about Spiffy. Tell us, first of all, why you got involved with them. You've got a lot of franchises and a lot of rooftops at Tom Wood. Why would you reach outside of the franchise or the dealer franchise, okay, and bring in Spiffy? And how did that come about?
You know, it came about, we want to get into the mobile space, and I don't always necessarily think the OEM thinks like I do. So I didn't necessarily want to follow their rules. I didn't want to buy their oil. I didn't want to buy their filters. I want to be able to control that. So we saw the opportunity with Spiffy about 3 years ago that they were launching franchises, and Indiana was an open market. So Jeff Wood and I flew down and we spent a day with them and decided really quickly, this will allow us to get in that space and try to understand, because they have an awesome app. People can, they make an appointment on an app, and the app, it's a suggestion. So they can say, hey, I'd like to have a Spiffy in my driveway, change the oil, detail in my car at 10 a.m. tomorrow. What's interesting is they'll accept that appointment. Do we do that in our stores? We might say, no, you know, that's not available, whatever. Well, Spiffy accepts the appointment, and then they reach back out to him and said, unfortunately, our truck's not going to be available. We have an appointment. We have moved you to, you know, this day or this time. And we seldom lose an appointment because of that. So I learned that, hey, accept the appointment, and then let's find a spot, reach back out to them. But don't ever just say we can't get it in. And so we've learned a lot, you know, with Spiffy and how that mobile system works with the vehicle. We have 5 Spiffy vans now. We service all the Amazon fleets in town. We handle all the rental agencies, Ace, Hertz, 6 Rental. We're at the airport now every day. We park 3 vans at the airport. They stay there. Matter of fact, I just leased a building at the airport to do another stand-up oil center. I guess you could say express center with a car wash. So yeah, Spiffy's really taught us how to get into mobile. We've now launched our Ford mobile service, you know, following a little bit of Ed Roberts' notes there, and we have our 3rd Ford van out on the road.
And on the Spiffy, just coming back to that, what kind of work are you able to do with the Spiffy mobile truck?
Yeah, so we can do oil changes. We do, you know, details, basic, you know, hand wash. It's all hand wash. And what I like about it also, it's all environmental. It's green. We don't leave anything behind. We carry storage tanks in the vans, and we park the vehicles on a mat. We suck the excess oils and the fluids and any water back into the van. We dispose of it appropriately. We also do tires now. So we're the preferred vendor on mobile tires. So I have a mobile tire van that runs around and installs tires.
Wow. So big on the convenience factor. And, you know, amazing that you're doing it. So I know Tom Wood said it's not about the rooftops or franchises, but give us the geography, Bill, of Tom Wood Automotive Group. Where are you located? And again, tell us about the rooftops and so on.
Yeah, so our home office is here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and that's where we were founded in 1967. So majority of our franchises here on the automotive, we have some motorcycle stores, outdoor equipment, tractor store. We own an aviation center, so we're big into the airplanes and jets and stuff here in Indy. And then we go up to, as far as Minnesota. I got to say it right. It's Minnesota, St. Paul. We have Richfield Bloomington Honda. It's a three-story mega Honda store right there in Richfield. We have a motorcycle BMW Indian Ducati right close to that store. We branch over to Lexington, Kentucky. We have an Acura store, courtesy Acura. We also have a Tom Wood Power Sports Indian motorcycle store over in Lexington. And then we go way across the pond to New Zealand, Wanaka, New Zealand. And Wanaka, we have a Honda store there, several motorcycles, an antique ski boat store. We're working really hard to have electric jet skis down in New Zealand here very soon.
How did that come about?
Jeff Wood, our owner, was a 30-year military F-16 fighter pilot. So he was a Thunderbird as well, and he flew in and out of New Zealand for many years. And he always wanted to have residence there. So probably 2017, 2018, he filed for dual citizenship. And I knew then we were in trouble. He's going to buy a business. We're going to be in New Zealand. And he didn't hesitate. And we bought our first motorcycle store there. And then we got the Honda car franchise. We've just kind of grown a little bit into that market.
So, Bill, you've worked your way through the industry, starting at the service station, doing customer service, selling, and then performing those synthetic oil changes. Worked your way up into the industry. You've held all the positions, working your way up. Today, you are the corporate director of fixed operations at Tom Wood Automotive Group, one of the most recognized and respected groups in the United States, I might add. Bill, where do you see, because I think we're in exciting times right now. Okay, a lot of change happening, and you're aware of that. And you're utilizing a lot of new technology there at Tom Wood. Speak to that and talk to us about some of the changes that you see that are transforming our industry.
You know, we have a really close eye on the change and, the buzz on EV. Oh my gosh, the fixed operations are going to go away. I remember back in the late 80s, early 90s when carburetors were going away and we thought, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We don't have carburetors anymore. They're taking our maintenance away. And we've always found ways, these vehicles, the way they run. But you also have to look at the latest technology and we try to stay in that space. I'm big on the AI technology. I have been for years. If there's an AI out there, I'm usually trying it or test it. And looking at, probably the next 3 to 4 years of what is it? What's the business going to look like? We jumped into the UVI space, and I believe UVI is our answer. I have 11 of them in our store.
How many UVI units?
I have 11 now.
The last time I spoke to you, we were on a panel. You were waiting on the first one. 11 today.
I have 11 today, and I'm telling you, what UVI, I think, is going to help us do is it creates the transparency with the customer because they're scanning the car, we're not. When they drive through that MRI machine, they're scanning their own vehicle. We're recognizing things before they get out of the vehicle that, either it's a safety problem, we have bulged tires, we have all these things. I'm telling you, Ted, I have more work than I know what to do with at these stores. I cannot handle, I'm buying wheel restore machines, I'm doing everything I can just to keep up. And say, it just finds the dents, the scratches, things that, we have on our cars. We just don't have time to take care of. But if you run through one of our stores, I might tell you that's, $150. You want to go, we can do it today. You want to, yeah, please take care of that. It's been bugging me. The machines are recognizing these things to the point, just craziness. A dent on the top. I didn't know there's a dent on the top. So I think this technology is there to help us, and it's going to help us get through the transition of EVs. And the UVI soon, they'll probably get mad at me for saying this, but I know a lot of intel with them. They're going to be measuring the heat of the battery cells, EV vehicles, and tell you, is this battery failing? Do we have a bad cell of the battery? And there's no other technology out there that's measuring the heat of EV batteries or EV cars. So they just launched a new appraisal tool program. So if you, Ted, if you're the general manager and you're looking for a very specific VIN-related car, you can plug in an alert. The second that car hits the scan, it sends you a text. The car you want is sitting in the drive. And the technology is really there to help us. And again, it's a tool. And if we're not using it, you know, it's just what it is. It's a big computer tool sitting in the drive. So we're working really hard to build the processes from A to Z on that system. And we're doing a really good job with it as a group.
You're really up on the technology, Bill. And you mentioned EVs as well. You know, with all the changes happening in the industry right now, you know, interest rates have changed in the last year or two. Inventory has certainly changed, okay? How is all this going to play into fixed ops, including the technology that you mentioned here?
You know, I think where it's going to get a little more difficult is the technician that we used to have versus what we need for the EV vehicles is different. It's a different person. And it's not the old mechanical rates like I was. It's an electronic guru that's going to be, you know, really working on these cars. And it's fascinating, really, for me to engage with those individuals we have around the group. They're a different person, and they love talking, you know, the electronics and computers and the stuff on these EVs. I'm fascinated by EVs. My son is an influencer in the EV space. So I travel with him every once in a while, and he just gets berated by people and questions, and he's more sold on it. Maybe I am. So it's a good banter back and forth between us two. I don't think there's an infrastructure for it. He's in the T world that there is an infrastructure for, so he gets it a little bit better. But, you know, again, you know, Tesla, it's a company that saw a need. The dealers were not responding, and they created something that just works. And the individuals that are buying some of that, we have to appeal to that, and we have to be able to respond to them. And I think the EV vehicles in our space is going to be fine. You know, we're not going out of business because of EVs. It's just a different type of a service that's coming through.
Bill, let's come back to the people. We started talking about that. You and I have been in the industry a long time. We've seen a lot of change, and I can relate to those long days and many days a week of working at the dealership and, you know, spending more time with the dealership maybe than at home. And it's a change industry. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about culture. What's your view, okay, in terms of, because it still comes back to being, we're in the car business, but we're really in the people business. And there's a lot of strength in the industry's people and the resiliency and attracting younger people into the industry. What are your thoughts there?
You know, I love doing it. And that's probably one of the favorite parts of my job is I started very low in the chain and was able and very fortunate to work through all the different levels to get to a point where I am. And there's so many youth in our network that have no idea what the automotive space is. So if you can get connected, we're connected with the YMCA, we're connected with all the high schools and the career centers, everybody is, but I'm finding more waiters, servers, young folk that are working really hard to take care of customers. We can train them our business. And if we can bring them in from the outside world, they have no idea what they're getting into, and put a good mentorship training plan in place, these guys will be superstars. And I have many of them in our group that are just superstars with the customer. And then we teach the process. The process is really easy. It's a process. But I can't teach customer. I can't teach you if you don't like people. And so we're finding, you know, the servers that just do a wonderful job. And then we're just moving them around. They start in our service BDC center. Young man Noah came through our rental agency. He went through BDC, spent a year. I put him through service advisor training 1, 2, and 3 through NCM. I put him at our Audi store. He did a side-by-side shoulder with an advisor for 2 weeks. He came back to the BDC. He still wanted the job. So I sent him out again to a really tough store and tried to talk him out of it. He still wanted the job. And he's very successful at our Volkswagen store right now. He's so compassionate with customers. And that's really what it takes. The rest just happens because, you know, we have electronic media. We're doing 94% media on every ASR across the group. Our closing ratio is 38.9% across the group. So I don't need you to sell anything. I need you to present a product, then follow the process, let UVI do its job, and then take care of the customer. Everything else just works.
Bill, I don't know this number, but approximately how many employees under your guidance there at the Tom Wood Automotive Group? I won't hold you to it, but an approximate number.
Approximately have 1,131. Yeah, so we're a little larger than I think a lot of people think we are. And a lot of it's because Jeff's passion goes outside the automotive, but it's wheel to wheel. We call it, it's kind of our niche is into the wheel to wheel. And our, you know, one of our niches is to get you know, let our employees get what they want out of life, and what can we do to make that happen? And that's really a strong push from the leadership executive team, is we focus on that. We do offsite meetings every quarter. We do a yearly annual review, just the executive team, and we look at preparing for what next year looks like. That includes every headcount of every store. So we watch it really close, and it makes sure we're not overstaffed, and certainly makes sure we're not understaffed. And we make sure that we're working on work-life balance at every location.
Tell me about the philanthropy. I know that's something near and dear to your heart, and how you give back to the community every chance you get.
You know, it started back when I was a youngster. I grew up the youngest of seven. We had absolutely nothing. My parents died young, and I wasn't exposed to anything like that. And I came to the big city of Indianapolis. My family still lives on the farms. And I watched Don Palmer was the owner of the group that I used to work for. And one day, Don came back and he told me a story that he had just got back from Haiti. I had no idea where Haiti was. And I'm like, Haiti? Like, where's Haiti? And he says, you know, and he said, I said, oh, that Haiti. How'd you get there? He said, well, I flew. I'd never been on an airplane. I had never been out of Indiana. So I was clueless. But he shared with me that he would go and loan money to individuals to start a business. And then he was following up to check on the status of the business to see how they were doing. He was coaching them along. Now, Don's a good business mentor, a friend of mine still today. And he knows that I do what I do because of him. When he shared that with me, I said, someday when I grow up, I want to be able to reach in my pocket and give a handout to those that are more deserving than me. So I get a lot of that from him and in my giving nature. He started it. He passed it to me. I'm passing on to others. I can tell you a quick story. I was at a 20 group recently. One of our general managers thought he was going to win the best idea. You know, they give a lot of money. And this is like an owner's group. So they give a lot of money, right? Not fixed guys. So it comes at the end and they all throw in $100. And whoever has the most to give to the group wins all the money. I have no idea what's going on. The day ends. I get a lot of cash set in front of me. I said, Bill, you know, this was great. It's an owner's group. You're a fixed guy. You shared so much. You know, you take the winnings. And I didn't know what to think. I just grabbed it, threw it in my backpack. And my general manager said, hey, halfsies, right? And I looked at him and said, no. We get on the jet and we're flying back. And he says, really? You're not going to give me half? And I reached in and I gave him his $100 back. And I said, I'm not giving you half. I said, I'm not even taking half. I'm giving it all to charity. This is money that I didn't earn. This is money that somebody else can use. And he kind of looked at me. And I fast forward about a month later, he had ordered a new Bronco. And I said, hey, where's your Bronco? And he looked at me. He said, I canceled it. He said, I can't just reach in my backpack and hand a wad of cash to somebody else. I was going to use that as a down payment for a loan against a truck. And I'm no longer going to do that. I want to be in the point that I can just give money away and not bat an eye. And so I feel like I was the Don Palmer in that moment that got him to think about what's more important, you know, a down payment on a Bronco or some people that just are just really less fortunate. It's money I didn't earn. It's money I didn't deserve. And it's money I certainly didn't budget. So, you know, those things mean a lot to me from where I started in this industry to where I am now. I can open up opportunities for folk that had no idea what the possibilities are because somebody gave me a chance 37 years ago when I started. So, unfortunately, Jeff Wood allows me to do it. We just had our 10th annual toy drive. We gave three toys to 3,287 children and 85 bikes. And we do that every year with the support of Jeff to allow us to do it. So, yeah, it's wonderful.
We're speaking today to Bill Demery. He's the corporate director of fixed operations at the Tom Wood Automotive Group. Last question, Bill, for today. Here we are, end of January, looking out over the balance of the week. A lot of things coming up in the next week or two. And then we still have 11 months left to go in the year. What's your advice for the dealers, the retail managers who are watching today as they look out with you over the balance of 2024? What should they be prepared for? What should they expect? What advice could you give them?
You know, as I tell our team, don't get distracted on the outside influence of things that are going on. It's an election year. There's EV, you know, questions, interest rates. There's all these things going on. Focus and pay attention to your business. Every day means every day, as Mr. Anderson says. And we focus on every day means every day. So let's not get caught up in all this other stuff. We got a great year in front of us. 2024 is going to be a fantastic year. And the good news in the car business is every month it starts over. You start fresh. It's zero again. And we go from winners to losers just overnight. So, you know, let's just get after it. 2024 is going to be fantastic.
Bill Demery, great honor to have you with us here today at the Fixed Ups Roundtable.
Thanks for having me, Ted. It was great.
Yeah. Everybody, Bill Demery, Tom Wood Automotive Group, you know, one of the pillars in our industry and certainly one who embraces change. And everybody, Bill Demery from Tom Wood Automotive Group here today with us at the Fixed Ops Roundtable.